Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever said, "Can't we all just get along?" Apparently Walt has. Now, I know that I have said this and something similar along those lines. I personally am no fan of conflict. I don't really enjoy disagreements. However, I do enjoy understanding where people are coming from, what they believe, what they understand, what their truths are. It would be really nice if we could always get along as we discuss those different understandings, those different beliefs. If we could get along as we discuss scriptures and life experiences, instead of instantly getting defensive or trying to talk over one another. Loving our neighbor includes open, honest, and caring conversations. This means that when there is a conflict, a disagreement, or when someone feels that a wrong has occurred, we need to learn from Matthew's steps of conflict resolution. I know, he doesn't say that it's conflict resolution in the gospel story, but that's the fancy term nowadays. All of these steps are done and started with love. They're started in love, they're done in love, and they're followed through with love. It makes me want to say, can't we all just get along? But in truth, getting along isn't enough. And truly, it never was. To just get along is lacking a depth of understanding and love. Just getting along and ignores another person's thoughts, feelings, beliefs, experiences, and potentially their entire self, their whole being. Just getting along paints a beautiful Norman Rockwell-esque picture over top of the reality of the situation without acknowledging the brokenness of the world that needs to be fixed, the reality of sin present in the world. Before the truth of love can aid in healing and reconciliation, we have to first acknowledge that we are all sinful creatures. Yes, saints, but also sinners. In our gospel from Matthew this morning, we hear, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of the two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen to them, tell it to the church. If the offender refuses still to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. This process, this step-by-step direction from Matthew to the people he is leading in the church, is first and foremost a process of love that is seeking understanding. A process of love seeking understanding through listening and hearing that uses truthful, non-combative conversation. Doesn't that sound all pretty? When I say it, that sounds great, right? It's not an accusation. It's not a confrontation. It's not purposefully a conflict. But so often, the way that we say something conveys our intention so much more than the words we are using. Our tone of voice gives away our intent. For instance, how I say I'm sorry will indicate if I am actually sorry. Or if I am simply giving lip service to get through the expectation that somebody else thinks I need to say I'm sorry. Right? So the I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, really, I'm really sorry. I'm truly sorry. I guarantee we have all heard variations of those I'm sorries. We've probably also used those at various points. It's a simple lesson, certainly, but it is one that we can all relate to. We have all had an insincere apology said to us, and we have all said an insincere apology to someone else. Matthew gives us direction for reconciliation, to provide us with a guide to offer an opportunity for listening, for hearing. This direction, this chance to lovingly care for one another, begins with one-on-one, open, honest, and loving conversation, seeking for listening and understanding and reconciliation. It is hoping for that honest time, that vulnerable time where you admit and hear how whatever happened made somebody else feel, whether you intended to or not. And it's one-on-one, so you're not bringing the whole gang with you the first time. Not even the second time. The second time, it's one or two people. If we don't feel heard, if listening doesn't happen, we bring one or two non-biased, not people who are just going to egg us on and whatever we think is right, but two others who are there not to create drama or conflict, but to help in the conversation, to help the person being approached to feel heard and understood and not ganged up on, but to also support the conversation, the listening, the hearing, to provide perspective and understanding, to ease any tension or anxiety that may be present, and to provide for love and peace in what could be an uncomfortable position. Again, I hate conflict. Even talking about this makes me, I don't like conflict. I was the kid when my parents argued, I ran up to my room and hid in the bedroom. I don't like conflict. I know, Pastor. I have to deal with conflict. It's great. It's wonderful. I love you, Matthew. Thank you for giving me a roadmap. If that doesn't work, if having just a couple people doesn't work, then you bring in your church, your family, because we're siblings in Christ. We are together, bonded together. Care for one another. The idea is not that you are judge, jury, executioner. The idea is that we care and love for one another and we want to support and bring about reconciliation. What you want to be able to openly discuss, openly support, and help to understand the miscommunication or whatever it was that caused the conflict in the beginning. We are called to love. And that means support one another even when we disagree, to foster that community conversation, listening, hearing, understanding. And still, if after this conflict goes to the congregation and there's no resolution, we lift it to God. When Matthew says that you take it and treat them as a Gentile or a tax collector, what does Jesus do to Gentiles and tax collectors? Anybody remember? He had dinner with them. He welcomes them in. He loves them and cares for them. So you don't go and chase them out. You continue to love and support. Even if you don't have reconciliation, you leave that to God's grace. You forgive, you move forward, and you continue to be the body of Christ, a family with all the joys of family, the good and the bad. You love one another. We continue to hear support for this call to reconciliation and continued love, the process for loving this conflict resolution from Paul's letter to the Romans today. Paul writes, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." Love one another. The entire process outlined in Matthew's gospel is out of love and care for one another and the community in which we live, the community of faith, the body of Christ. Conflict breeds gossip and pain and secrets and distrust and disdain and ugliness. If conflict isn't addressed or resolved or conflicted or confronted, the community will suffer. Love will be undermined. We are called first to love one another. This includes within our community of faith, within our congregation, within the body of Christ. I guarantee we will not always agree. We will interpret Scripture differently. We will come to different understandings. But this understanding brings a beauty that can only be found through diversity, a gift that is so prevalent in God's creation that surrounds us. It's a beauty that we embrace and we lift up and we love. Conflict is uncomfortable for most of us. I could tell you all of the physiological responses I have whenever I am approached by conflict. But now is certainly not the time. Matthew gives us guidance to help us through conflicts that will arise. And this management occurs with God's love as our guide and our path, with a hoped-for reconciliation as a goal, with love and forgiveness. We can't ignore the conflicts that come, and we can't paint over them and pretend that they don't exist. Instead, we face conflict head on, talking with love and following the steps that Matthew provides so that we together continue to serve our church, our community, and the world with the mission of Christ to love our neighbors as we continue to love ourselves. Amen.